Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you as always. And this is a big day in history, folks. How about this? Let me listen to these announcements. On this day in 1850, the city of San Francisco was incorporated. On this day in 1892, the General Electric Company was organized. On this day in 1912, kind of a day of infamy, the Titanic sank on this day in 1912. And Ray Kroc started the McDonald's restaurant chain on this day, you know what year? 1955. And somebody who probably doesn't remember that day, but not too long after that, he was remembering some McDonald's hamburger places is our good buddy Jim Ostroff, who's one of the outstanding editors over at the Kiplinger Editors. Jim Ostroff, welcome back to the show.
Hey, good morning, Jim, and good morning, everyone.
It's good to have you back. You know, Jim, I was talking about Ray Kroc. I lived in northwest Indiana, just across the river, or the lake, I should say, from Chicago, back in the mid-50s. And I remember one of the first, back then, like 56 or 7, I was just a little kid, and I remember going to one of the very first McDonald's.
Because
that's basically where he didn't come up with the idea from McDonald's.
No,
he got it from some brothers,
The McDonald brothers.
Yeah, he got it from those guys, and then he took it and ran with it. But I'll never forget going in that place, and we'd already had the White Castle hamburger place.
That's right.
But McDonald's was different. Those fresh fries and all that kind of stuff. Those are good memories, and pretty cheap food too back in those days.
Yes.
Hey Jim, let's move over and talk about the letter. What's the big news? The economy, right? It's gradually getting better, but it's spotty, right?
Well, yes, and you know the thing is, critically, the credit landscape is thawing after about 3 years.
That's helping the economy to improve a little, isn't it?
It is, because credit is a lifeblood of the economy, whether it be for individual consumers or certainly for businesses too.
Yep.
And
It does. You know, credit eases out the rust spots. You know, I hear people saying, you know, you shouldn't borrow money. You shouldn't have any credit. Your business should run, you know, on its own. Well, you know what? That's just not really very logical. All small businesses are undercapitalized, and the credit is meant. It wasn't meant to become a way of life, but it was meant to become a means to an end, which is to smooth out the cash flow rough spots.
Exactly, and it's a means to an end. And it doesn't go, if you need some money to say, gee, I think I can get five times that amount, I'm going to get, you know, for no good reason. But it helps. And I'm saying it's absolutely vital. I mean, for instance, to purchase, you might say, it could be very large equipment if you're a business or a facility or as a consumer.
And the thing is if you've got a piece of equipment that you're going to use over 10 years,
right.
There's nothing wrong with financing that over 5 years, because otherwise you've got to come up with the money more than likely that you don't have, right. So you're not going to buy the equipment to take advantage of the opportunity. So credit is, you know, credit used properly, and this is a big thing, Jim, and I try to get across to folks. You use operating capital for short-term expenses. You use debt for long-term capitalizing. You know, don't write a check out of your operating account for a fixture in your restaurant that you're going to have for 40 years. You know, use that money for inventory, for payroll, and things like for marketing and things like that. Don't use that to buy something that you're going to have for a long, long time, like a freezer or something like that. Finance that sort of thing, but those transactions, Jim, that we're just talking about, have been harder and harder to come by of late, haven't they?
Well, they have. You know, I mean, really, it's been about 3 years, but particularly since everything seemed to go south in the fall of 08. And it could be banks, other institutions, things like even GMAC, other auto finance companies just really pulled in the horns. They overreacted. They knew it. But
yeah. The independent community banks, though, have been steadfast. They deserve our kudos. They deserve being recognized. With the exception of some of those that got themselves into trouble in certain areas like Florida, Atlanta, Phoenix, L.A., places like that. He got certainly Nevada as well, especially Las Vegas. Except for those independent, some of those independent community banks. Independent community banks have been really, really supportive of especially small businesses. But things are starting to improve a little bit. And the good news is, as we'll talk about in a minute, banks have lots of cash. 22, right back with Jim Ostroff after these messages.
There's a light at the end of the tunnel. I see it burning.
Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Jim Ostroff is our guest. He's with the Kiplinger Editors, and that's Kiplinger.com, right, Jim?
That's right. It is.
Lots of publications there. The Kiplinger letter we work off of every week. They've got three biweekly letters that are various industries. They've got their personal finance magazine, the Kiplinger Personal Finance Magazine, which is also available on the newsstands. And there's a toll-free number, right, Jim?
Yes, there is. It is 800-544-0155.
It's outstanding, folks. Still a family-owned small business, basically.
That is right.
But one of the standards, one of the gold standards for business reporting, and we value their work very much here on the Small Business Advocate Show. Jim, we're talking about credit and banks. As you guys report this week, they're flush with cash. And really have never not been flush with cash, but some of them got upside down with regard to their bad loans that are on their balance sheet that should have been assets, but when they got written down based on the mark to market rules, they got upside down with their capitalization, and that's what caused a lot of these banks to fail.
The thing is, overall, overall reserves have been greatly strengthened.
And they've written off a lot of these loans.
That's right.
They've taken their medicine, and now they've got cleaner balance sheets. And see, every time they bring on a loan, that loan is a risk.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of banks didn't want to add any loans because the negative potential was more dangerous to them than the positive income was.
Exactly. So they pulled in their horns.
Right.
Key factors, whether it be bank reserves or equity to asset ratios, are at highest levels since the 1930s.
Right.
And as you had mentioned, community banks are doing very well.
And you know who else, we need to mention this, credit unions are doing a good job out there, too.
They are. And basically, those who did their business as they've always done their business and looked at the fundamentals didn't get burned as much
right.
as the others.
Right. Exactly. So folks, if you see growth opportunity, you need some capital, go talk to your bankers. Start with an independent community bank. I like talking about independent community banks. If it weren't for an independent community bank, I wouldn't be talking to you today. I promise you, folks, that is a true story. And that's what I meant earlier this hour when I said there's not too many things that I haven't seen that you could see that I haven't seen. There's not too many banking scenarios, not too many financial situations that you could happen to you that I haven't had happen to me. So been there, done that, and so I'm speaking from experience. Jim, let's move over and talk about healthcare. There's some new stuff there. I want you to tell us about it. What's the deal?
The new healthcare law. I mean, typical, of course, it's complex and it comes with many strings, but for a limited time, the U.S. will help companies pay the health care cost of early retirees. So again, that's
why are they doing that?
It's
do they want people to retire early?
Well,
is this to get to, so that I'll let somebody retire and I'll hire a new person?
Well, it could be that as well as people retire.
So retirees aren't held, don't go in the unemployment line.
That could.
So this gets people off the unemployment line. That's what they're doing, right?
That is a big factor here. And what happens is that starting in June, if somebody retires from your company early, the U.S. will pay as much as 80% of the cost for various claims for retirees between age 55 and 64.
Wow.
And that is very significant. But the thing is, of course, there's the other shoe drops. Employers must use that money they get to lower their existing employees' co-insurance costs on deductibles. And in addition, companies that get Uncle Sam's money must set up disease management programs.
Oh, yeah. So there are strings, aren't there, Jim?
So be careful, folks.
You know what Rosanna Dennis said, Jim?
It's always something.
There's always something.
It's always something, and it's true. And it's true. There is. And as Kiplinger says here, it may be of value for your company, and employers really need to do the legwork to see if it's worth it. That's it.
Yeah, and so, folks, and this is just the reason we're bringing this up, folks. This is just one of the unfolding elements of the new health care bill, right, Jim? I mean, this thing is very convoluted, and I don't know if this is going to – I mean, I'm trying to imagine how many people this would benefit. They've got these little narrow categories that you've got to fall into if you're going to be able to take advantage of this. So whenever you hear someone touting the benefits of the health care bill, and I've done some of this. I've mentioned this week I've reported on some of the good, the bad, and the ugly of this bill. But when you're talking about the good stuff, it may sound good, but it may only apply to a narrow profile of people, of companies.
You need to read the fine print.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Before you get too excited about it.
Right.
No question about it. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Jim and I are going to talk a little bit about the automobile industry. There's some good news and bad news in that industry. We're going to also talk a little bit about retail and real estate. And that's coming up in the next segment. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll be right back. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.